Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash in their over-under game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app to enter our free $250 U.S. Open contest. Just download the SGPN app in the App Store and click Contest.
Hi, yo, DeGeneres, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 156. I'm going to send this out to MLB Gambling Podcast host Malcolm Bamford. He runs a fantastic show over there. Plus, he helped me out with some betting advice that I put into my most recent fantasy baseball article up on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com site. So, Malcolm, this one goes out to you, mate. Who am I sending things out to people? I'm the old gray bush, Jeff Fox, one of the hosts of this year podcast. Hello. This is one of our special, it's not special anymore, it's going to be normal Monday episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast, looking to make spreadsheets more exciting the world over for all you people, or at least manageable, as you get cracking on your work day on Monday. What we're doing as become the tradition on Mondays, we will be breaking down some PFL action for you. PFL continues to roll on this week from Atlanta. They got week five of this year's tournament, regular season, coming up this weekend. More weight classes, more fun. So we're going to break down that for you. And we're going to recap, see how Gumby did with his picks last weekend for PFL 4. Who's Gumby, you ask? Gumby is my co-host of this year podcast. You may know him as Gumby God, depending on what week you catch him. He's Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, welcome. Hey. I will say it's funny because this Monday episode option is going to end because PFL's only got this week and next week left. But obviously, we'll still have good ideas for what to do on Monday. And I will tell you this little nugget. Contender Series right around the corner. That has got Monday written all over it.
Yes. When is the start? End of the summer, right?
I'm pretty sure I think I saw there is, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong again, let me put the intern on it. Let me talk stupidly for a really long period of time.
He's usually not wrong. He's usually on point, guys.
July 26th.
We got a month and a week.
We're a month away. And let me tell you something. I have seen some absolutely great fights coming up, especially in the first couple of weeks. There's a crazy good flyweight fight. Clayton Carpenter is a guy I really like versus Steven Ersig. One of the guys who we really liked off the last season of the Contender Series, Javid Basharat's little brother, Fareed Basharat, is fighting. That's all in the first week. There's a really fun heavyweight that I kind of like, and Waldo Cortez Acosta is fighting in the second week, as well as Shimon Smotritsky, who was one of the fights I got wrong previously. I thought he was really good, and he got stunned early and submitted. They welcomed him back. He gets a chance to prove me correct again. So those two are exciting. And then a whole bunch of people who I love later in the year. I love Haley Cowan. She's fighting. Basically, get excited about Contender Series again, because it is coming down the pike.
And for those of you new to the Sierra show, last year's Contender Series, last summer, 10 weeks, Dan went 80%, 4 for 5 every week, pretty much every week. Overall, he was 80% in the year. Is that including the first week? I don't think we were really keeping track first week.
I don't think we kept track the first week. And I will also say the 10th week, I think I also did much worse than that. I think it was a 6-fight card. I think I went 2-4.
Right. Yeah.
But in fairness, I did that episode live from a hotel in Atlanta as I got ready to go to Games 5 of the World Series, which I definitely did not do as much research as I did for the other ones. Giant Braves fan getting ready to watch the Braves try to clinch a World Series, probably not my best showing.
And they lost, too, to make it even worse for you. But anyhow, Dan killed the Contender Series, so he plans on killing it again. This week, we're going to kill some PFL, but first, we're going to tell you about Win. Make sure to get down on the Win. This bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. And the ultimate fantasy football experience. If you bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st of this year, you get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a 2-night stay at Win Resorts. For you and your entire league, multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the Winbet app or visit winbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change, which is at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where a playthrough Winbet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now we're on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine, as do the SGPN gang. It's a game-changing product like anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball, and then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friend's picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. With these picks from Dan, you got picks for Tuesday, I guess we'll make the picks, since this is dropping on people's ears probably later on Monday.
Yeah, I'll say in game 3 of the Stanley Cup, take the over on Darcy Kuemper saves. I said to take the over on his saves in game 2 because I thought the Lightning would respond with an assload of shots. They did not, if you saw any part of game 2. But I think by game 3, we're going to actually see an uptick in those. So take the over in Darcy Kuemper saves. Even if he lets in a goal or two, he's still going to have 30-35 saves.
Yes, the back-to-back champs are at home, so you would think down 2-0, you would think the amount guns a-blazing. So we shall see. So take that pick. Get on your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right. PFL Professional Fighters League, episode 4, week 4, went down this past Friday from Atlanta. Main event saw a very close fight, split decision win. Alex Martinez squeaked out the win over Clay Collard. Like I said, split decision. Dan was on the side of Collard here, so you lost on that one. Pretty good fight, pretty close fight. I thought Collard had it, but who cares what I think?
Yeah, I thought he had it too. But still, and we still had a good night anyway.
Yeah, sure, if you want to say so. You won $9 off Antonio Carlos Jr. winning over Bruce Soto, so there you go.
Yeah,
Antonio Carlos Jr. Yeah, he moved on.
If you looked at the ones up and down the card, and there's a reason we gave you like a close technical breakdown of 4 and not very much in the other ones. The big favorites, and we're gonna do the same this week. The big favorites, mostly all cash, although one of them didn't. We'll get to that.
Yeah, Roush Manfio did Amazon the side of. the defending champ. He got beat by the Quebec kid, the Canadian gangster, the Canadian tuxedo, Olivier Aubin Mercier.
Yeah, he looked good.
Big L for Dan.
You used a little bit more of his wrestling, and it was more successful than I thought it was going to be.
What a yawn that fight was, at least for the first round and a half or so. Ay-yi-yi. They were doing nothing. Split decision, Jeremy Stephens, newly shaven Jeremy Stephens. Split decision over Miles Price. You had Stevens there, right? So you won $14 on that one based on your $100 bet. Omari Akhmedov beat Teodoros. I didn't say this name before. Oxtulios?
I'm pretty sure you just passed on it when we got to it. But yes, yeah. Oxtulios.
Oxtulios. Anyhow, you had Akhmedov, right? Yeah,
I did. 27.40. Yeah, for what I win 42 cents on that one.
27.40. That was it.
Oh, big spender.
Yep. And then you took some L's. Your big underdog, Marcin Held, lost to Nathan Schulte. Any comments on that?
No. I mean, Schulte did a good job of staying away from that. Like Held kept rolling for his Imanari rolls that I thought he was going to. I thought one of them was going to work, or he was going to at least get into a prolonged grappling exchange with Schulte. But Schulte did a really good job of any time Held hit the ground, he backed away and was just like, nah, I'm just not going to do that, which I didn't think he was going to. I thought he was going to be too proud. So good on him for doing that.
And then one of the favorites lost. One of the big favorites, Emiliano Sordi, lost to Dylan Monte. You had Sordi, right?
I did. I'm a little surprised. I actually think he wins that fight 9 out of 10 times, but he just gets caught here by Monte, who I'm not particularly high on. I think Monte's – I mean, I saw him look just absolutely – I saw him look absolutely atrocious against the Antonio Carlos Jr. last year, and Sordi's pretty damn good. I've been high on Sordi for a while, so upsetting to see him lose here, but he'll be back.
He's been eliminated. I mean, again, he'll be not impressed with your performance.
He'll be back.
He'll be back next season,
upcoming years.
Rob Wilkinson won. That was another one of the favorites. 29.85 damn made off that. Josh Silveira beat Martin Hamlet, Conan's son. I didn't see it, but he won via head kick to knees from the clinch. Did he look as good as that sounds at -140?
Yeah, he looks
what a
incredible.
Fantastic number for him too.
Yeah, that dude looked crazy good. And I saw some people in on Hamlet being like, oh, I can't believe he's an underdog, because Hamlet, if I'm not mistaken, was in the finals against Antonio Carlos Jr. last year.
I don't think so.
No, I'm almost positive. If he wasn't, he was in the finals. I'm looking at it right now. Tournament championship.
Really?
Last year.
Did he step in for someone? Because he hasn't won two fights in a row yet in PFL.
No, but he.
Wise, he was all right.
Yeah. So he had beaten Dan Spahn in the first fight of the year. That got him 5 points with a triangle choke. He lost the second fight. 5 was enough to get into the playoffs. Then in the first round of the playoffs, he fought Cesar Ferreira, who tapped to a hamstring injury 13 seconds in. He actually wasn't ready to fight, but got his paycheck by showing up and being in the semifinals. And so then he got advanced to the finals. So he did make it to the finals. So I saw some people in on Hamlet. Silveira is the real deal, though. I said he should have been in the UFC like 3 fights ago. Back when he was fighting for LFA. I think the UFC whiffed on that one. Like that dude should be in the UFC.
Is he going to win the light heavyweight tournament? Who's he have in the semis?
I don't know off the top of my head who he has in the semis, but I'm always going to be hesitant to pick somebody over Shoeface. Shoeface is so good, man.
Yep, that is true. And then in the opener, another favorite came through of Dan's, Nate Jennerman over Jake Childers. $50 you got on that one, so not bad. Overall, though, you lost $200, Dan. Boo. But you went 6-4. Yay.
Yeah. I not bad overall. I'll take a 6-4 night. And if you flip the main event too, which I personally think was flipped, like you'd probably be in a better spot.
You definitely would be in a better spot. No probably about that. So on the year, you are 12-7 for PFL, but you're down almost $200. So we got to pick that up this week. We got PFL 5 going down from once again from Atlanta. Dan's got, once again, just like last week, we got you some picks, actually breakdowns. We're going to give you break. We got you picks for every fight, breakdowns on the ones that should be competitive, or at least are competitive on the on the odds board at this point, and then we'll just breeze over the other ones. But first, we're going to tell you about Trade Coffee. We will not breeze over this. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. This is expert-tasted coffee. Trade's coffee team actually taste tests thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds alive and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade's first match guarantee. Trade is so confident they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback, and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send you a brand new bag for free. Whether your friends call you a coffee snob or you just know it when coffee tastes really perfect, Trade's real coffee experts personally taste test over 450 roasts, so they know exactly what to recommend for you. So here's what you do right now. Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. When you're online doing that, make sure you're using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like 89 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, let's get down to the nitty gritty and make some money for you people. PFL 5 this Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern is the start time of the prelims. Prelims are on ESPN Plus. Main card is on ESPN, and it's going down again from the Overtime Elite Arena in Atlanta. GA Hotlanta, 11 belts on the card. We'll go from bottom to top as per usual. First one we actually will break down is this is a featherweight.
Do you want me to do the quick rundown of all the ones we won't break down? Let's get that out of the way. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, Bruno Capoloza is fighting Matthew Scheffel. Capoloza is the guy who won the season last year. If you didn't follow along, he's betting off right around negative 500. Like slam dunk pick here. He's phenomenal. He should win no matter what. We got Henan Faria, who looks like the most dangerous man on the planet right now. If Capoloza doesn't repeat, I pick Henan Faria to win the heavyweight division. He's fighting Clinton Abreu, UFC cast off and generally bad fighter. So Faria wins that one easy. I'm seeing him at like negative 400, negative 420. Ante D'Elia is fighting. He's the guy who went to the finals with Capoloza. He's fighting Stuart Austin, a guy who's like this British heavyweight who I think Great Britain was high on him, but I don't know why. D'Elia is betting off at negative 550 or so. I've got him all day here. Another heavyweight blowout that we can talk about is Denis Goltsov, who I had picked to win last year's PFL championship. I actually thought the UFC was going to sign him a while ago when they were snatching up a bunch of Eastern European heavyweights. He's fighting Sam Kay, which it's just downright confusing. Goltsov betting off at like 625. So yeah, favorite again there. I'll take the favorite in the other heavyweight fight with Ali Izayev fighting Jamel Jones. Jamel Jones is arguably like one of the most terrible guys in the PFL right now. Like he, if I'm not mistaken, did he lose on Contender Series? Yes, he did lose on Contender Series. He lost on Contender Series at light heavyweight to Mike Rodriguez. And then was like, oh, well, I'll go get a win back on the regional circuit and fought in CES against William Knight and got KO'd. And then decided to join PFL and went to heavyweight. Just confusing. So anyway, take Izayev, negative 500. We got Bubba Jenkins fighting Saba Bolagi. He's negative 360. Bolagi can only wrestle, and he just happens to be fighting a dude who is a phenomenal world-class level wrestler. And the only other one who I'm telling you is a blowout and we don't need to break down is actually not a blowout. I will tell you this. I'm going to take Chris Wade over Kyle Bochniak. Wade is betting off at negative 400. But I will tell you, Kyle Bochniak's number is like flirted with plus 300. And I've thought about it because Bochniak is so fucking tough. I think he's going to get taken down 700 times in this fight. But Bochniak is so tough. Like, I keep thinking about the Zabit fight with him, the Magomed Sharipov fight. And my goodness, like, he just gives me some kind of, like, weird faith. So if you're pulling the trigger on all of these favorites and putting them in a big parlay, maybe leave Chris Wade out. But that being said, official pick there, Chris Wade. So all these guys, I mean, the closest fight I just gave you right there was Bubba Jenkins, Saba Bolagi at negative 360. But none of those really deserve a full-ass breakdown.
There you go. So this is heavyweights and featherweights. Also, one lightweight fight. They're putting in this for some reason. So even though we just had lightweights, right? That was PFL4. So anyhow, let's break it down. First fight, very first fight, the curtain jerker of the night. Dan wants to break down. It is in the featherweight division. Alejandro Flores versus Ryoji Kudo. What can I tell you? I'll tell you about Kudo first. 10-3-1, six knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in PFL. He's lost two straight. However, he was 2-0 in the greatest MMA organization of all time, one championship. He used to fight up at lightweight. He's 2 years younger than Flores. I don't have any reach info for him. Kudo, he's plus 150 on the board. And then Flores, El Gelito is what?
El Gelito.
G-A-L-L-I-T-O.
Is it the little cookie?
The little cookie. That's like me calling hockey the hockey guys onions. No.
No.
The rooster.
Oh, little rooster. It's yes. A little root. It's little though, or right? Gallito yes. Means small. But isn't
the rooster?
Oh no, it's all it cookie is galletas. I was close.
Oh my
though.
Goodness. Yes. All right, Flores, 21-3, seven knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, so he's all of his losses have come via finish. 2-0 in PFL. He's won four straight. He was on the contender series where he went 0-1. I'm sure Dan remembers who he lost to, even though I don't.
Yes, he lost to Rafael Alves, if I'm not mistaken. I think he got choked out on a bad takedown attempt.
There you go. He even knows how. He's 2 inches taller than Kudo, minus 163. An odd number, but that's a number.
I'm going to go with Kudo here.
Kudo.
Yeah, I actually am going to take the underdog. Despite coming off of two straight losses, including a weird technical decision against Brendan Loughnane, who we're going to talk about, he actually stunned Loughnane in his last fight. And he came in here as like a plus 750 underdog or something like that against the Brit. And like he hit him with a right hand and dropped him hard in this fight. And I'll say this too. The thing about Flores is Flores likes to strike at range and is like probably too patient for his own damn good. And Kudo just gets after it. I think Kudo is going to like bank some rounds that way. And also I'll just say like, I don't know. Flores doesn't seem to be like hitting anybody hard enough to finish him now that he's fighting people who are like actually have the same level of technique and experience as him. Right. Like he's had like kind of two lackluster decisions in PFL. You know, he looked terrible on the contender series. Like if you look at his combate record, it wasn't real great there either, or at least like, you know, like mostly decisions against high level guys. And then when he fought like newbies, he like finished them and got knocked out once there too. And you know, like he's been knocked out. So with him being knocked out and being finished, I think Kudo can do it and I'll take him at the plus money. I like being able to get plus money on a dude who I think is probably better anyway.
And your fans, the disciples, the acolytes of Gumby God also like the plus money. So there you go. All right. Brendan Loughnane, the aforementioned.
Brendan Let's Loughnane, roll right into it.
Yeah, he's fighting next. Featherweights against Boston Salmon. Let me tell you about Boom Boom Salmon first. He's 8-4 with five knockouts. He's been knocked out twice. 1-1 in PFL. He lost his last fight. 0-2 in UFC. 1-0 in the contender series. Dan's going to tell you who he beat.
on the Contender Series. He won on the first Contender. Oh, he beat Ricky Tercios.
There you go.
He won on the first. It was the first episode of the Contender Series ever, and he got a contract off of it.
There you go. All right. He's got half of an inch of reach, so he's got a huge reach advantage, half of an inch. Over Lockney in plus 235. Brendan Lockney in 22-4, 12 knockouts, one submission, never been finished in a fight. 5-1 PFL. He won his last fight. He lost in last year's semifinals. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Who'd he beat, Dan?
He beat Bill Algeo, I'm pretty sure. Senior
Perfecto. Listen to this guy. Bill Algeo makes the UFC, but Lockney does not.
That's because he shot a takedown with 10 seconds left.
That's right. That's right. He was in the UFC eons ago where he went 0-1. What else? He made his pro debut in 2010, pro debut in MMA. He was a regional champ, minus 275.
Lockney all day.
Dude, like, that'll be his new nickname. He needs a nickname.
I had a little bit of faith in Salmon going into that Shaman Marais fight. Like, he had talked a whole bunch about, like, coming up in weight and how that was going to do really good things for him. And then we saw it do really good things for him on the Challenger Series when he beat Du Kyum Lee, which I was like, oh, you know, that's like a pretty good win. I know not a lot of people know who Du Kyum Lee is, but, like, he's a pretty good Korean prospect despite his record. He had fought a bunch of UAE warriors and stuff like that where I'd seen him. He'd also fought Mark Streigel another hot Korean prospect that they know is, I think is it Saw? Oh, no, it's Jigsaw. Jigsaw. Gi Byung Moon. But anyway, that's a really long tangent of way of saying Boston Salmon impressed me when he beat him. But he also did not impress me when he fought Shaman Marais, who I think is much worse than Brandon Lognane. I'm sure I'm saying his name incorrectly. Lognane, I'm saying he's still one of the biggest misses in the history of the Contender Series. Like, this is a guy, who just took it to Bill Algeo. And then followed it up by beating a ton of dudes in Contender Series, right? Like, he beat Shaman Marais. He knocked him out. He beat Tyler Diamond, who was on Tough. And, like, he did wind up losing a split decision in the semifinals. But, like, you know, I think he's way too good here for Boston Salmon.
There you go. All right. We are going to jump up. Actually, not jump up. They really have this front-loaded with actually some big-name fights. The opening of the card. So you're going to want to watch the prelims. We got Lance Palmer up next versus Shaman Marais. This is featherweight as well. Featherweight's not getting much respect in the card placements here.
Want all those big heavyweight favorites to knock people out late.
Big fat guy swinging.
And with their timing, too, you're going to get a knockout in like 30 minutes of Randy Couture talking to. Does he do it with Kenny Florian?
It's with Kenny Florian and what's his name?
Randy Couture.
The play-by-play guy is Sean O'Connell.
Sean O'Connell. Sean O'Connell.
One of the rare fighters who actually went into play-by-play and not a color. So anyhow, that's why you don't watch these things live, Dan.
He's great, though, by the way. He's Sean O'Connell's good. Actually really good. And shout out to the greatest weigh-in stare-down guy of all time, Sean O'Connell, by the way. He once brought his one of his opponents, he brought flowers to. I can't remember who that was, but I do remember who it was when his opponent squared off and put his fists up and Sean O'Connell pounded his own hand three times and then did paper and then covered. That was Anthony the Hippo Perosh. He did that, dude.
Yes, he won the won $1 million off of PFL and then retired and now he's announcing. So anyhow, they have a good broadcast. So we'll do Shaman Marais first in this Lance Palmer fight. His fight against him, we'll tell you about Marais, 14-5, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 3-1 in PFL. He's won 3 straight fights after losing his debut. He went 2-3 in the UFC. He went 3-1 in World Series of Fighting. Used to fight down at bantamweight. He made his MMA debut professionally at 2012. He's a kickboxing champion. He's got 2 inches of height, 3 inches of reach, and 3 years younger than Palmer, plus 140. Lance, what's his nickname, Dan?
The party.
Lance the party Palmer.
Am I right about that? It's the party.
You are. He hasn't really seen like that much. I don't know a heck of a lot about him, but he hasn't seen that much fun really.
He was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast once upon a time.
He's
so
not that fun though, is he? To be call him a party?
I don't know. He's pretty fun to talk to.
Okay, there you go. The Party, 22-6, one knockout, eight submissions. He's been submitted once. It's the only time he's been finished in a fight. 15-6 combined in World Series of Fighting / PFL. He was the World Series of Fighting champion, and then he was PFL champion 2018 and 2019. However, he's lost three straight fights. He's not won a fight since he won his championship in PFL championship in December of 2019. He was the RFA champ before all this. He was the pro MMA debut 2011. He was a lots of multi-time wrestling champion as an amateur. -160 is the number on him.
I'm taking Palmer. Mostly because, like, just if you look at his record, and I know he's lost three straight, he loses to guys who can fight his wrestling. You know what I mean? Like Chris Wade, really good at defending takedowns. Movlid Kabulev actually took it to him with the wrestling. And Bubba Jenkins is also a top-level wrestler. You go before that, he's a two-time PFL million-dollar champ, largely by out-wrestling people and making them his bitch. And he did that against guys like Andre Harrison, who he had lost to back when it was called World Series of Fighting. He did that against Steven Seeler, who's got good takedowns. He did that against Bakhtiyar Magomedov, who again has some pretty good takedowns. Like he is a guy who, if he has the wrestling advantage, knows how to use it. You know, we talked about it on Sunday. If you go back to Sunday's show, my big beef was low IQ guys who should have wrestled. Albert Duryev, Jasmine Jezuda Vicious early in that fight. Like there were people who should have just wrestled from the get-go. This dude does not make that mistake. He wrestles from the get-go when he needs to. Shaman Rhys, probably a better striker than Lance Palmer. Going to get out-wrestled, probably subbed.
There you go. Boom. He's very sure of himself. All right. Final fight we are going to break down for you is the lightweight co-main event. Do you know why this is the lone lightweight card in here? They just wanted to even the cards out or something?
They have not said this, but this is my belief. I'm about to wildly speculate with no evidence. I'm pretty sure Anthony Pettis is not 100%. I think he was banged up and couldn't fight last week and knew so ahead of time, just needed an extra week to get ready. And they're very, very much trying to make Anthony Pettis the poster boy of PFL. And they needed him to fight one more time in order to qualify for the playoffs.
Well, let's see if he's going to be the poster boy after this week. Dan's going to break this one down after I tell you the info on these gentlemen. Stevie Ray is Braveheart, 23-10, six knockouts, eight submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted four times, 0-1 in PFL, 7-4 in the UFC. Used to fight up at welterweight. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Boom, there you go. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. 3 years younger than Pettis. All right, based on their UFC stats, he's got better striking stats and he's a more active striker. His striking differential in UFC was plus 0.83 strikes per minute, so he landed almost one strike more per minute than his opponent during the UFC. He's at plus 170. Showtime Pettis, 25-12, 11 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 1-2 in PFL. He won his last fight via submission. He went 11-9 in the UFC and was the champion there. He went 5-1 WEC, never die, and was the champion there. Used to fight at welterweight, used to fight at featherweight. Pro MMA debut 2007, 2 inches of reach on Ray. Grappling stats in his favor based on UFC. He was outstruck by 0.39 strikes per minute while he was in the UFC. He's at minus 200.
I'm going with Stevie Ray.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think Pettis is washed and doesn't want to be here anymore. That's my estimate. Like, he looked so fucking terrible against Roush Manfio. Like, he looked bad. He looked bad against Clay Collard. I mean, like, he just doesn't look like he wants to be there. And he's a favorite against Stevie Ray based off of a submission win over Miles Price, a guy who we saw look, I mean, again, not good last week. He lost again. Miles Price, I can't believe I'm saying this. Miles Price doesn't belong in PFL. Like, he's 11-9. Like, they're just bringing him in to lose to the guys they want to build a name on, you know, in Jeremy Stevens and Anthony Pettis. Stevie Ray has objectively looked pretty good. He had a good fight with Alex Martinez, who now is 2-0 in PFL this season, is probably going to the playoffs. Before that, he thought he was retired, but, like, decided to have some grappling matches. And I don't know if you saw those grappling matches, dude. The guy is insane. He's insane on the – well, they're on Polaris, so they're on Fight Pass. So I of course, watched him because I watch professional
everything
grappling. Yeah, professional grappling every time it's on. But he won with a modified twister last time out. And before that, he inside heel hooked Paddy Pimblett, which is like – I know people are out there talking about Paddy Pimblett like he's some amazing grappler. Stevie Ray is a better grappler than Paddy Pimblett. And of course he's got that win over Michael Johnson semi recently. I guess that was probably 2 or 3 years ago at this point that some people question, but like, I think Stevie Ray still got it. And I think Pettis has got 1 foot out the door. I think Stevie Ray also probably could just take him down and grind this out. So yeah, especially with dog money here, I'm going Stevie Ray.
Boy, you started off with a dog. You ended with a dog here, Dan. Lots of dogs.
You know, that's how I roll.
That's how you roll. That is how he rolls. So that puts to bed PFL 5. So make sure you watch it. Hey, jump in the Slack Friday. Watch it with us. Everyone will have lots of fun. And maybe some people will be smarter than Dan. I'll have some live takes on stuff. And hey, things sometimes change from the time we record to when the fights happen. So you never know. Someone might announce that they're going to be a striker when they're really a grappler. So stuff like that. You got to keep your
Duraev can go fuck himself.
There you go. That would be a good title for this podcast. But I probably won't do that. So, all right. Hopefully you enjoyed this. We'll be back in your ears on Wednesday with the first of our two episodes devoted to this Saturday's UFC event. Until then, you can read my MMA only stuff at moneymma.substack.com. You can read Dan and my writing over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Listen to all the rest of our obviously amazing podcasts on the network. Subscribe to our actual feed. If you're not listening to this on the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, subscribe to us there. We dropped the episodes a bit earlier on that one. And Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast. We'll talk more about it later in the week, but it will be coming out soon. You want to tell us who's on it, or you want to wait?
So I have one fighter who I haven't done the interview with yet, but I suppose I could.
Don't chase it.
Oh man, so I'm supposed to talk to Mario Batista tomorrow. So in theory, he should be on it. But one person who I can tell you is 1,000% on it is Vanessa Demopoulos, ahead of her fight with Jin Yu Fry.
Oh, she's fun.
She is. I mean, like, dude, she is genuinely like one of the funniest interviews all the time. And we talk about like the Joe Rogan jumping into his arms and whether or not she's got something cooked up for next time. She drops probably another 12 F-bombs. It's a good time. So make sure you tune in Wednesday when that's
around.
Yeah. Make sure you turn that down if the kids are in the room, because Vanessa Demopoulos has got a trucker mouth. But it's a good time. So make sure you tune in wherever you can.
A stripper mouth?
You could say a stripper. She might have a stripper's mouth. Yeah.
All right. So I didn't tell you about our Twitters, did I? The Twitters, the show Twitter. Please follow that. Dan is doing lots of great work there. Lots of multimedia posts there. So that would be SGPN MMA. If you want to follow me, I had a lot of people getting at me on the weekend asking me their picks, asking for help with their picks. So by all means, slide in my DMs. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. I think that's it. Dan's going to take us home this week.
Oh, I'm going to take you home this week. Oh,
you weren't ready.
Oh man. I had one from last week from Sunday, because I didn't want to steal HoboCop anymore. Cause you definitely don't deserve HoboCop. He's got HoboCop. I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's the party, Jeff Fox. And we will catch you on Wednesday.
I am not a party.